Agencies are struggling to follow the rules around cloud computing. The Council of Inspectors General examined 77 commercial cloud contracts across 19 civilian agencies. It found most failed to implement federal guidelines and best practices. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins me now with details on the council's new report. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
I guess the most surprising thing to me came in this report where they looked at 77 contracts out of a population of 348 contracts totaling $12 billion. Cloud really has gotten big in the federal government.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, that's probably one of the first times you've had auditors, and this one, obviously, these are this Council of Inspectors General versus usually you see stuff from the Government Accountability Office, who really estimated the total value of cloud. You have all these kind of market research firms who say, we believe cloud will be worth this much money over the next this many years, and you never really know what if they're right or wrong. And this is the first one that says, you know, the cloud has taken off. And I think that's why this report is so important in many ways. I mean, a lot of times when we get IGA reports and GA reports, I think they're worthwhile. But remember, they're only a snapshot in time. This snapshot in time actually started in January and goes through August. So these 19 agencies really looked at, you know, these IGs and 19 agencies really looked at cloud in depth and found some stark, you know, challenges that continue to remain 4 years after OMB issued their cloud first policy.
All right. So what federal guidelines and are they not following? Did the IGs find?
The IG centered on three basic areas. Cybersecurity, of course. So that's around the program called FedRAMP for cybersecurity cloud services. Contracting, you know, basic contracting clauses like service level agreements and roles and responsibilities between the contractor and the government. And the third piece wasn't called titled an inventory of cloud systems, meaning who owns what, where is it owned, and what systems connect up to the cloud from an agency level. So I think those are the three main areas. And I'll tell you, Tom, I'll start with the biggest surprise to me was the fact is we finally have some real data around FedRAMP and the idea that agencies actually did not really meet that June 5th mandate. And in fact, when you read through the report, one of the things that stands out to me was the idea that 59 of 77 systems that they reviewed didn't meet FedRAMP security standards as of June 5th. And of course, this could be a snapshot in time, and here we are a couple months later. More of those systems could meet FedRAMP, but at that time, they did not meet it. And what that means is that they're not following cybersecurity standards, which means they are putting data and systems at risk. And this comes despite the fact that the Office of Management and Budget mandated that June 5th deadline, and agencies just they didn't follow it, or contractors didn't understand it.
So does this mean that those contracts are with data centers who have FedRAMP certification, but not actually the conditions in place that should result in that certification?
No, because I think what this means is that they are contracting with cloud service providers who have not either, A, gone through the FedRAMP process and gotten approval from the Joint Authorization Board, which is DOD, DHS, and GSA, or that these are or didn't receive authorization from FedRAMP through the agency level. You know, for instance, HHS has given at least one, if not two, different commercial organizations approval that they say, yes, you meet these FedRAMP standards. It also means that they also are not working with vendors who are going through the current process, meaning that they're far enough along to feel confident that they will meet the FedRAMP standards soon enough. So I think there's a lot of concern over why aren't these systems compliant? And I think that matters in terms of the both from a security standpoint and, well, why did OMB set this deadline and who's making sure agencies meet this deadline? And that's one of the things that the IGs point out. They say there really is nobody in charge of the hen house here. They're saying the Joint Authorization Board and the GSA, you know, the Program Management Office for FedRAMP, don't have any authority, and OMB has not put in place a strong enough, if you will, a process to oversee to make sure that agency X is contracting with company Y and company Y is FedRAMP approved.
So what's happening is these companies that are taking the time and expense to use to go through the FedRAMP process, and all the people that are on the jab and and making sure that they are compliant, the quid pro quo isn't happening. That they would have an advantage in getting federal business. That is to say, the agencies are just not waiting for FedRAMP compliance. They're going anywhere they want.
In some ways, right. That's what seems the IGs are finding, or that the process that was in place in the front end of the before the FedRAMP approval came into place, agencies didn't heed that, you know, mandate and say, okay, well, are these vendors that we're working with, that we're contracting with, going to meet that deadline by June 5th, or at least be in the process by June 5th? They're saying, well, we didn't know about it, or the vendors have said we didn't think this was a real mandate, or we didn't think that this was a rigorous mandate.
Wow. So, all right. So the IGs are saying make it a rigorous mandate.
Basically, one of the recommendations that they came up with was, you know, basically determine how best to enforce FedRAMP compliance. A very simple recommendation from the IGs. The other thing they did was recommendation was establish a process and reporting mechanism to ensure federal agencies require cloud service providers to meet the FedRAMP authorization requirements in a timely manner. So I think that was a big focus of this report, and this tags back to the inventory issue, which basically part of the best practices that both the National Institute of Standards and Technology and others have put out. It says to understand your cybersecurity, you have to know what you own, right? What's being connected to the cloud. And the IG said 9 of 19 agencies did not have an accurate and complete inventory of their cloud systems. And they said that basically it's a manual process. They're not applying the government-wide definition of cloud computing developed by NIST and accepted by all, you know, especially accepted by the agencies. And that, again, is putting the systems and the data at risk. So there's a lot of risk being out there based on these lack of, if you will, following these best practices and federal guidelines.
We're speaking with Jason Miller. He's Federal News Radio's executive editor. And here's something even more basic the OIGs found is that 64 of those cloud contracts out of 77 lacked detailed service level agreements, which seems like the agencies were awarding contracts without really thinking about what they were getting.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And we're seeing this growing challenge. And I'll give you one example. The Labor Department got themselves into some hot water with their financial system that was put in the cloud. Then all of a sudden their contractor goes bankrupt and they have to buy back their cloud system, but the hardware, the software, the data, and it's costing the government millions and millions of dollars because their service level agreements were not, you know, up to par. And I think what the IGs are pointing out here is that it seems like labor may not be alone, that most agencies are really suffering from a lack of expertise, a lack of understanding of what specifics have to be in there, whether it's service level agreements or non-disclosure agreements, or even the authority. This was interesting, the authority for agencies and agency inspector general to go into those cloud systems to do forensic audits in case of a criminal, you know, event or a criminal prosecution. They did not have those roles and responsibilities, those specifics in the contract to say, you know, agency X's, you know, law enforcement branch can go into your cloud system to look for, you know, evidence in case of in light of a criminal investigation. And that was pretty amazing too.
So this brings up some complicated questions, as you have written recently that the Homeland Security Department is getting White House authority to be able to monitor under continuous diagnostics and monitoring all agency networks, or at least the ones that have web services deployed to the public and so forth. So the question then is, what access would DHS have to these applications and networks that are cloud connected? If the service level agreements are vague or they're not FedRAMP compliant, it might be that there's a lot of stuff hanging out there that the government can't really ensure the safety of.
No, I think that you're right. That brings in a very interesting question, because where does the line stop that would allow DHS or for that matter, really any agency to monitor their own network or the network that's in the cloud or what? And I think that's still part of the challenge that agencies are facing when it comes to cloud computing. How much access do they have? And going back to this report from the IGs, that has to be written in the service level agreement. It has to be written as part of the terms and conditions of the contract to say, yes, you can do this, whatever this is, you know, do continuous monitoring, access the network, you know, your set of network, your set of services, your set of data, whenever you want. And even it comes down to, you know, you have the ability to remove your data and have portability whenever you want, however you want to do it. I mean, the data piece is really as important as the security piece. If you don't have those terms and conditions or service level agreements of how your data is maintained for e-discovery, for all those data pieces, there's so much things that the government does as data-centric nowadays that if they're not protecting their data, they're going to be in trouble.
And has the GAO done similar work on any of these contracts?
So the GAO, last time that I could find, looked at cloud computing back in 2012. They looked at 7 different agencies and how they're meeting the cloud-first policy. And what's interesting is a lot of the things that the GAO found back in 2012 were very similar to what the IGs are finding today. Security is still a big challenge. Interoperability and portability are questionable. They also questioned, you know, the best practices, who's following it and how it's being followed. And I think at the time, those 7 agencies got a much better bill of health than these 19 did. So I think maybe things are getting more complex. More agencies are going into it in greater detail. And so that's going to cause more challenges down the road.
Now, when GAO looks at something, it's because of a request by someone in Congress. When IGs look at something, it might be because of whistleblowers. Do we have any evidence as to why the OIGs decided to look at this particular issue?
Well, in fact, I talked with Kathleen Tee, who is the, I think, the Education Department IG, but she also leads the IG Council's committee for the IT committee on the IG Council. Then I talked to her back in January, and I just went back looking through some notes. And I think one of the things they just wanted to see was how are agencies meeting this cloud computing mandate? There's no whistleblower. There's no congressional request. They just decided to do this as a community project. And I think that's a really actually important sign that they got together, that these 19 agencies, and they're all civilian agencies, so, you know, it's about half the government in terms of the size and the cost. And they're saying, here's what we are, you know, here's what something we think we should look at together as a community. And you know, it's a pretty interesting report. And we do have it linked up on federalnewsradio.com.
And this is something that this is the second time or third time this year that the IGs have gotten together as a group to take on something they feel is important.
Right. And I think that this is something that maybe we'll see a trend going forward in, just because there's so much going on and there's so the IGs in terms of I think every agency is facing the budget reductions and challenges, and IGs have a resource limitation just like everybody else. So I think coming together as a community really gives you that broad picture. I think I would agree with you, Tom, that this something is maybe a trend that we're going to start to see more and more of.
All right. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks for that report.
My pleasure.